No Directions PaizoCon 2019 seminar coverage is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/NoDirection.
And everyone is here for question marks, right? Despite our trolling and giving Starfinder Society Q&A. Although I actually, we were allowed to ask. So you guys are question marks, so they can ask Marks any questions. And I actually do know probably the things they're announcing at that other panel. So if you ask us that, I guess I'll be forced to answer.
Yes. Well, okay. So
as long as it's late at the end.
This is Question Marks, the panel that exists because they are both named Mark. You can ask us any questions or ask them any questions, and they will answer them. The questions may or may not be answered truthfully, depending on whether or not they know the answer. But they will provide answers. And if your questions are particularly good, or if we like them, or if we just run out of people, which is highly likely, you get a prize. And our grand prize is, what is our grand prize, Mark?
It is an original.
Notice how he answered. He answered?
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm Mark, and this is Imposter Mark.
No, I'm Mark, and this is Moreland. Is how a lot of people say it at the office. Because some people, after he says Imposter Mark, will say it's Old Mark and New Mark. But I feel like that's mean, so I like doing Mark and Moreland.
It is true.
Yeah.
It's mean to call you Old Mark. So
Mark and Moreland is my favorite 80s sitcom.
Yeah, Mark and Moreland. All right.
Yeah, so, Owen calls you Mark, or he calls me Mark and you Helpful Mark.
I've heard that too as a response to Imposter Mark is Mark and Helpful Mark.
Yeah.
So what is the grand prize?
The grand prize. Well, first let me explain what the regular prizes are.
Oh yeah.
All of these prizes were previously owned by members of the Paizo staff.
Yep.
So everyone who gets a prize, which it looks like will be all of you,
we'll have
a unique piece of Paizo history
memorabilia
that no one else outside of Paizo staff members can claim to have.
And in some cases, it's literally unique, and the Paizo staff members now don't have it anymore
because
they gave it up for
it
these
has
prizes.
Been donated as a prize. Yeah. The grand prize, which we don't really know how we'll determine who wins the grand prize, but
we're
I guess
have to
that's
figure it
one
out.
Of the
and
questions.
That's one of Andrew's jobs.
That's my only job.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not answering any questions.
Is an
I'm just
original
judging
piece of
them
Wayne
silently.
Reynolds' art.
Cool. Yep.
An original piece of Wayne Reynolds.
Yeah,
art.
He said an original piece. It's
original
not
piece.
Just.
Okay.
It's not
a print.
It's not a print of. It's original. All right. So, take it away, Mr. Moderator.
All right. Well, who has a question for Mark?
I'll start.
All right, you can say whether it's for Marks or which, or you can indicate
or
which
we,
mark.
Or should we guess?
We could
we
also guess.
Just ask Mark,
you
and then
know,
we'll.
You're probably both pretty familiar with Galarian lore, so.
That's true, but he's the main expert.
Whoever gets to it first, you can take it.
Okay.
The Hell Knights, I like them as a group. I like them thematically, and one of the mysteries about them that I've never been quite sure about is with the Order of the God Claw. Mm. So they've got five deities instead of one. Where do they get their divine power from?
So
where does anyone get their divine power from, really? I mean,
good enough answer.
Yeah,
I'll try to give you a slightly more helpful answer, which is
helpful, Mark.
I'll give you a wildly inaccurate answer.
So they get their divine power from their faith, because especially if you're using clerical magic or divine magic, that is a combination of vital and spiritual essences. As it was, druids are primal magic, and that's a combination of vital and the material. So spiritual essence is the makeup of your soul. It's opposed to material, where material is the makeup of matter. Vital, which is opposed to mental, is the essence of life, positive, negative energy, but also instinct and faith. The part of you that is sort of born in animal instinct, what makes an undead turn evil even if they were good in life, whereas mental is like high thought process. So the vital essence is tied to instinct, it's tied to faith and divine magic. So it's the spiritual, that's the connection to the other planes where those gods are in the God Claw, and the vital is their faith. So they get it from their faith in the God Claw. That may not be that helpful, but I think it was slightly more helpful than the previous answer, maybe.
I don't understand how those things work.
I'm going to say neither one of those answers is correct. They get their power from tiny microscopic creatures that live in their blood.
Oh, yes.
God chlorians.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, you asked a question, so I think you get a prize by default.
Well, it was the first question, but you have to decide whether a question, and we all can. I think being brave enough to ask the first question, no matter what it was, is pretty much worth the prize,
so
in
too.
My mind. Which
so
one will you give for this?
I think to get us started...
You know the history of each one of these items, so...
Well, we're not going to say.
We're not going to say whose they were.
Okay.
We're just going to say that your prize, sir, is a brand new bottle of bubbles.
But if you follow everyone in Paizo on Twitter, only one has bubble blowing in their handles, so...
Well,
sure, I don't know if that's who
I don't think that's who it's from.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Questions.
Is there actually bubble liquid in the bottle?
Yes.
That's a question. Okay.
Of course it is.
I don't think it's been opened.
We wouldn't give them an empty bubble thing bottled. No one would donate that.
That's coming later.
All right.
More questions.
Any more questions for us?
Mine's not so much a law or a rules question.
That's fine.
Just general advice. So I'm starting GMing with a new group. They've been a solid group for a long time, and we've just come into kind of their group. So they have a previous Pathfinder campaign where they've been playing for like 4 years. And we're now playing a Starfinder campaign with them, and I'm going to start GMing the Pathfinder 2nd edition when it comes out. So the first thing I said is, right, I'm going to start GMing this. They were already keen. Obviously, their GM is keen to be a player. The first thing they said to me, though, is, can we use our old characters? Now, their old characters are like level 8 and obviously have a rich backstory that I know nothing about. So... do you have any advice to me? Because I don't want to turn them down and be like, no. My first instinct is to go, look, it's a fresh start, it's a fresh face, it's a fresh game. Make new level one characters, you'll have fun. They all seem quite heartbroken by that concept. I was wondering if you had any advice just of, should I push through with what my initial instinct is, or should I kind of meet them in the middle somewhere?
So I think your instinct to try to do a fresh start was a good one, but seeing them being crestfallen and pulling back was also good that you saw that, and you may need to try to compromise for them. It would have been nice if you have some possible chance, which is the Age of Ashes adventure path is just kind of so awesome that if you can convince them that they definitely want to play that adventure path, it does start at first level, so they'd have to make new characters. But if you can't, it depends on what the characters are. Like, if their character is like, I don't know, some like kind of a kitsune mesmerist using an archetype from a player companion that lets them use polymorph spells, because there is one, like, they're not going to be able to play something that resembles a really out there character. If their characters are more sort of, even you can do a way more, in my opinion, way more concepts with the core book of 2nd edition than with the core book of 1st edition because of some of the flexibility we added. But it's certainly way less than all of 1st edition combined. So if they're close enough to something that you think you can build with the core rules when it comes out, if they're willing to convert and they know it's not going to be the same, it's going to be better in some way at some things and worse at other things, you might be able to get it to work. Converting from 1st to 2nd edition is actually very easy as long as you're willing to be lenient. Converting the other way is not. This is not because somehow they're transitively less similar in one direction. It's just building anything in 1st edition is kind of a nightmare, and building things in 2nd edition is very easy. And what you're doing when you're converting is building something in the edition that the other thing is. So I've been running War for the Crown in 2nd edition, and it is smooth, it is wonderful, and it takes me less time to prep than running it in 1st edition, because my group is so powerful that I can't run the 1st edition stats, I have to beef them up. And I can just convert it to 2nd edition faster than that and run it, so... it shouldn't be too bad as long as they are willing to, and if they're so heartbroken about not keeping them, I worry, but as long as they're willing to be flexible about it and their characters aren't way in the woods with, like, I mean, Gestalt Kineticist and Vigilante Magical Girl, then you might be able to handle some more basic concepts. Does anyone else have more advice?
Yes.
So that wasn't the answer.
No, that was the answer. I'll give you a different answer, and then you can pick which of them is correct. And if you pick correctly, then you win the prize.
Well, okay. I've also got some advice. So,
my advice would be, if you're the GM, tell the story that you're comfortable telling. And I think that if they're really invested in their characters' backstories, that you're not going to be able to do that justice in the same way that if a showrunner came onto a TV show in season 6 and didn't have the ability to go back and watch the previous episodes.
Like if they ran out of source material.
Yeah. Almost like they ran out of source material and had to just make it up as they went along. And, you know, that's not satisfying. I think that obviously they love their characters. Everyone falls in love with their characters unless they've made characters they hate, and why would you do that? I think that the reason that they want to keep playing them is because they're attached to the characters. And one thing you could offer them is to do a send-off to those characters. You know, have them give you, each maybe in private, an idea of what they think their right-off into the sunset moment is for each of those characters. And then you can craft a story that basically gives them all the opportunity to get closure on those characters before moving on to a new campaign. I know of people who've picked up other people's campaigns halfway through, and you have to be really tight-knit with the players. Like, everyone has to have buy-in and agree that, like, hey, we're going to do this, and if some plot threads from 2 years ago don't get picked up again, that's to be expected. So I would just talk with all of them and say, you know, I understand that you are really attached to these characters. I'll do what I can, but you also want to narrate your own story from the ground up and create new characters that they can love. Maybe these new characters have some connection to the old characters.
Right.
That's another thing that I've done in the past was we would run prequels to campaigns where we would basically, you know, do a short 2 or 3 sessions where we're playing all of our characters' grandparents or, you know, mentors or something in one adventure to flesh out then the background, so that when they say, oh, I was trained by so-and-so the blacksmith, everyone has that bridge from the inspiration to the new character. And so you could do something where you're at 8th level or whatever level they're at, sort of going on this adventure with the understanding that they're laying the groundwork for a new campaign with new characters. Spin-off campaign.
Yeah. In fact, if they each write what they want in the final thing, then you add the mystery mix of what you know you want in the next campaign, then it could be directly tied in.
Yeah. So that is another option. Everyone is involved in the collaborative storytelling element of it. They get what they're looking for in the conclusion for their characters that they love and cherish, and you get to set the groundwork for the campaign you want to run.
And then the only canon that you have to worry about is the canon in your send-off episode based on the ones they gave you, as long as you're consistent with that. So that is also a good answer.
Which of our answers
is correct?
Wait,
Andrew has a third answer.
Non-mark.
You can also run the second edition campaign as a dream that their original characters are having. And then once they end up liking second edition more, because it's awesome, just tell them their original characters died in their sleep.
All right, so which answer was right?
That's my favorite, but that is probably the most accurate in the way I'll probably go.
Okay.
You chose correctly, so you win a prize.
Yes, that's right.
Your prize, the bag of prizes.
Is a sliced kimchi jar full of assorted screws, nuts, bolts, and fasteners.
That seems very useful.
I don't even think we can take those home.
Well, I bet there are... Well, maybe some of them are metric. I don't know. Oh, getting them on the plane?
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Well,
just check them in your bags. You'll be
fine.
We'll spread the love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just walk through the airport handing them out to people. Like, here you go.
Well,
would you like a socket wrench?
You guys have a second chance to get a prize.
Yeah,
actually, we have
true.
More than enough for everyone.
We certainly do. We certainly do.
So are those two prizes, or were the screws already in the jar?
They were already in the jar.
Well,
they were
that's
donated.
That's what was donated.
Exactly
as
you found them.
Okay.
Okay.
They were given with love from someone at Paizo.
Yep. Any other questions? I feel like we actually gave a really good answer to that.
I gave a really good answer. That's why he won.
Except for Andrew.
No. My answer is totally legitimate.
So you've been talking about Pathfinder 2, which I've been reading. It's very exciting. I've been playing with the campaign. I've just finished Shattered Star. It took 4.5 years, 200 sessions to get it done.
Bravo. I've been running Shattered Star in 2nd Edition, too.
Okay, so that's
you can't run everything in 2nd edition.
Those are
Mark.
The only
it's
two
things.
It's
not even out yet.
But that's what I've been running in the office playtest. You could have played it. You just didn't have enough time. You kept saying no. Take me off the email list.
That's true.
So I'm playing Mummy's Mask right now, but I want to get back and play Rise of Room or Return of Room Lords.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of the trilogy, right? And I've got the characters from the previous Shattered Star that want to come back, you know, and be part of it and all that. And I'd like to move to 2.0, but. Is it worth it to do all the conversion?
Well, I gave my answer before, which is that... So I played in Shattered Star in 1st edition, and I run it in 2nd edition. And so it depends.
Okay.
When you're running 1st edition, do you run what's in the AP without changing it, and your group is fine with that? Because
pretty
my
much.
Group is not.
Well, yeah,
they will annihilate
everything.
Where did
you find those players that will run an AP exactly as written?
Any one of my characters could win the encounters that are in the APs probably on the first round. So I have to, and there's 4 or sometimes 6 of them. So
that's
I have
the problem
to,
with playing with the people who make the game is that they break the game.
Well,
my players are not even Paizo players. It's just my home group from. They're all like physics PhDs, and they'll just do crazy things.
My
from
suggestion
MIT.
Would be to run Return in 1st edition. For 2 reasons. One, because it is the conclusion of the trilogy, basically, and you've run the other 2 in 1st edition. Return of the Rune Lords is written so that the high-level characters from the previous campaigns are intended to play a role. They're not meant to be the player characters because it's a new story, but it's specifically written in a way that the Return of the Rune Lords characters have the opportunity to meet and to have, or to meet their older characters, assuming they played them. And then those old characters still have the opportunity to impact the world and see the entire story wrapped up. And if you're converting that final chapter of the trilogy to a new edition, you're creating extra work for yourself and for the players. In order to take those elements, and they're not huge load-bearing things. It's more a fan service style, you know, nod to the past 2 volumes. You're just making extra work, especially if one of those characters is, you know, a summoner, you know, or something that we just don't have out of the gate for 2nd edition.
Well, if it's the final volume, by the time that
well,
he
that's
gets
true.
There,
if it
knows.
Took you 200 sessions
but,
to get through,
yeah.
I mean,
but,
we might have done a hardcover compilation of Return of the Rune Lords by then.
But
you know, who,
but
no promises.
I think Moreland is right about the fact that if it has special things and your group seems to do just fine with the APs, so I think a lot of people might get mileage out of it. But I think your group would be fine in 1st, unless everyone's super excited to play 2nd. Like, if you have, if the whole group is like, we really want to try it out, because the rules are more elegant. I love 1st a lot.
If you do say so yourself.
I love 1st a lot, but the rules are more elegant.
Yeah. So the other reason that I would suggest 1st is that, you know, we're going to release content for 2nd edition as quickly as we can. But there are limits to how much we can do, despite what we've already attempted and done. But yes, that we basically realized that 2 months of 1,000 pages is about what breaks us. And so we will not be going forward with that release schedule for 2nd edition, which means that some of the things that play prominent roles in late 1st edition APs are going to require more GM work to convert. While you'll have the ability in 2nd edition to just, even if we don't have a kineticist, for example, if you have a kineticist NPC that you need to convert, you can just build a new monster, a new NPC from the top down, to do basically what you want it to do, even if there's not a class that you're trying to emulate. But it will be a lot more work than saying, oh, well, this is a, you know, hill giant, and being able to just open up the bestiary and run the Hill Giant 2nd edition in place of the Hill Giant from 1st edition. So
it's non-zero conversion.
Yeah, I think that the one of the reasons that we're doing the Kingmaker update in hardcover is because that was the second AP to come out in Pathfinder. So it's built using fewer tools, which is about the level of content that we'll have for the first year of the game, during which we'll be writing and developing that second edition content. So,
yeah, Andrew, do you have a third thing to say for this?
I don't actually have a smart-ass response to this one.
So I will point
out... You get no prize!
You said it's 1,000 pages over 2 months. It is 1,296 pages all at one time. And here's a question for you guys. How many of those 1,296 pages, which are over a bunch of books, did I have to do a pass on? What do you
Far
think?
Far more than me.
I would like to point out that the...
1,200. Only Age of Ashes 1 was not me, because I wound up doing Plague Stone.
Dodged a bullet there.
Plague Stone, World Guide 1, and World of... I can. And here's really cool, and I really want to play the 4th one, Fire in the Haunted City.
Is that because Linda wrote that one?
Yeah, and she told me what's in it, and it's really good.
So why would you do that? That's like, oh, I'm writing the new Avengers movie, and here's everyone who dies in it. Thanks.
It's really good.
All right.
So, yeah, I think that's worth a prize.
I think it's worth a prize. It's good. You gave us the opportunity to shill our new edition, which is really why we're all here this weekend.
That's true. I really feel that I'm not just shilling. Then again, I wrote it, so I'm really, really, really biased. But everyone I've shown the game to or who I've seen playing the game has enjoyed it. I've heard that people have not enjoyed the playtests in some ways, and we have improved those ways.
I don't know what that word means. Playtest? I've never heard that word.
There was no playtest.
Really?
That must have just been a fever dream.
I mean, there was, but everybody loved it.
Aren't we putting up a free RPG Day product soon where we force people to play the playtest for no reason?
What's your favorite color?
At gunpoint, yes.
Yes.
Green.
Okay. You got to choose.
A tea towel and washcloth. Brand new, not used.
Yeah, they didn't use it. They actually are new. Yeah. Not like some ratty old tea towel and washcloth. Wait, from Paizo.
Why were the choices green or black?
Because the black is the other prize.
No, I just asked him what his favorite colors were. He said green or black, and we had a green towel.
Yeah. So there you go.
Okay, all right. More questions.
Yeah, that's right. Also, if any of you wants to trade for somebody else's prize, you can try.
We could run this like a white elephant.
I'm actually requesting questions from the directions chat.
Okay.
Oh, that's even better.
That's
but
way
they can't get the prizes.
They can't get the prizes.
I'm
not
going to... asking for them.
Okay,
so
we're going to give you...
You can ask each other questions.
If you ask your own question, you might be able to win additional prizes. But I would say that's a good idea, so that's worth one prize from all the questions that you get, no matter how many.
It's not like I can take,
Okay.
For their questions. But,
all right.
They want to know, as far as 2E goes, someone asked about the Wizard's Thesis.
Okay. Yes. So,
know more about it.
So basically,
it requires years of research to learn about the Wizard's Thesis.
That's true. So I'm well situated to answer about the Wizard's Thesis because I skipped out of my thesis to come work at Paizo. So
you did.
Yeah, like right near the end. But that's fine because Sean's job opened up and I wanted the job.
Programming AI anyway.
Yeah, I maybe saved the world from that. But so basically, what happened
one
was
one more line of code on Skynet and I'll be done. Oh look, bright shiny Paizo. I'm gonna go do that.
During the playtest, a lot of people. Said that a lot of their wizards were being very effective, except maybe their save DCs were not very high, but that they just weren't very exciting. Like, when we looked at the ratings on the surveys, people were like, wizards were among the most top powerful classes and among the bottom least exciting classes, and they had the largest gap in enthusiasm based on how powerful people thought. Mostly people were like, this is strong, I like it!
That's how we solved the martial magical... divide.
Well, but they
was
still
by
said
just
wizard...
making their characters super boring.
They
so
still
no
said the wizard, and I think we're not sure exactly why, but maybe it's just everyone knows about the schools of magic. They aren't as exciting anymore. So we were brainstorming, and so basically, having worked on theses, I was like, well, these wizards are their essences, right, are material and mental. That means that they study the world around us and use the magic of the mind. They're always working on research. So they're basically research mages. And so probably, and we know they have to train at wizard school, they probably had to write something to graduate. They probably wrote a thesis. And theses are usually, in the real world too, some new kind of research that you are engaged in. So all of these theses are going to give you a special ability. You have to come up, there are names for what the ability is that's sort of an ability name, but you have to name the thesis. So if you took a thesis about familiars, it might be like, on the origins of the familiar bond rituals and the ways in which our variations may improve upon the effects.
You and then, your toad, wide angle vision.
Yeah, it could be that too. When it's like your character is basically like, well, everyone's got comfortable with this familiar ritual that always works and doesn't do very much. But I found the old ways we used to call them that always failed a lot. And I've found that they're more powerful. And I've created this whole new thing that most people haven't picked up because they're worried about it. But for me, I have a really good familiar. So it's all about what makes your wizard different than every other evoker. Because otherwise, Evoker was a choice, don't get me wrong. It has some super cool things that none of the other seven schools have. But you meet another Evoker around the road, it's like, oh, Evoker Bob, what's up, Evoker Carla? Oh, well, we can evoke force balls.
Speaking of Evoker Bob, I learned on Twitter yesterday that according to one of the character generation softwares for D&D, Bob is the most popular character name.
Okay, there you go.
And this concludes my thesis.
There you go. So that's thesis in a nutshell.
And we did the iconic encounters pieces of flash fiction on the Paizo blog over the last few months, and each one was sort of intended to show off one of the rules elements that can impact the flavor of the stories you tell as a player. And for the wizard, for Ezrin, we wanted to show off that idea of research and really understanding different wizards' views of magic. So if you look at that, I think that one ran back in March.
Yeah,
probably.
It's one of
it was
the
like
first
the second
ones.
One, second or
yes,
third
number
one.
Two.
It
had a bunch of theses that got pulled up.
Yeah, he's sort of trying to solve a problem, and it sort of runs through his mental, you know, hopscotch of figuring out which of these theses he can draw from and how he needs to adapt them based on his own knowledge and his own research of magic in order to solve this problem. So I encourage your faithful listener to go and read that.
Yeah, read Sutter's blog fiction. They're really good. And basically, it'll make your wizard more unique because 9 is already pretty good for 8 schools plus Universalist, but multiply that by, I don't know how many, but even 5 theses, and now you have 45 just at first level, different ways to start as a wizard who had the same ancestry and the same background and everything
but
else.
They also have the same 3 spells. Mage Armor, Magic Missile, Grease, every time.
I don't know. Some people take Burning Hands.
Burning Hands. Okay, fine.
All right.
How do we want to handle the prize for this?
I was saying that he deserves one prize for the idea of getting a bunch of questions, but no more that
I'm
come from
the
there.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
You are.
But
you
we
are
have a lot
of
prizes.
Here.
We are not
we
walking out of here with
bag
this bag.
Of prizes. So maybe. Oh, okay, here's a thought. What if someone who has a prize but may not be satisfied with their prize or worried about getting it through customs wanted to?
Oh, they already.
You already traded. Okay. Hey.
Okay.
You're already imagining what you're going to be building with all those screws and fasteners, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'd say we give him one prize for all the questions that come.
Yeah, and then no direction can figure out how to distribute this.
Yeah,
to,
if
to
you
fans.
Can actually find the people or any of them, you might be able to get it to them.
All right.
It'll be easier to find if they don't know what the prize is, yeah. So let's not say it out loud.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah,
that's
there you
good.
Go.
Okay. Here is the prize for no direction.
Yes. Here you go. You're welcome. Did everyone see it?
Very good.
Okay.
All right. More questions. Yes.
Unless somebody else says it.
No, no one else
no.
had their hand
There's
up.
Enough prizes to go around okay. twice.
So, another one of my favorite things in the Galarian lore is the goddess Lysala, goddess of virtue and magic. Her priests were wizards, which is really weird, and basically nothing is known about her other than a few little tidbits. Whatever happened to her? Is that known at all?
Lysala actually played a fairly large role in the fourth season of Pathfinder Society.
It was cults of her that were not necessarily following her old ways because she stepped back. There's actually a big article on her in Shattered Star
Volume 5, I think.
I played an Oracle of Lysella in Pathfinder Society, so I read everything
there is. There's like an 8 to 10 page article about her and her faith in there.
And her poor Harold Kershaw.
If you're looking just for more context in terms of like adventures that involve her faithful, there's a lot of them in the season of, or year of the Risen Rune.
Yes.
Her holy symbol is like a snake woman, like a Merilith almost, but with the head of with a rune for a head, and it's the Sahedron, which was the most powerful of the runes that she gave or that she taught to.
She gave the knowledge of runes.
Yeah. So there's a lot there. The rune lord who tries to come back in that season arc was one of her like high priests.
He was her final high priest.
And
according to my character, he was a super heretic. Like, but if you replay those adventures, these guys are infuriating to truly Sol worshippers. They have perverted all of her most holy day.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm getting at. Is okay, her church was overthrown and taken over and corrupted. What happened to her?
Nobody knows.
She didn't like the fact that everything had been corrupted. This was an example of, as opposed to a deity who, like, spoiler, Nocticula, has over the course of a few APs decided that maybe she's not chaotic evil anymore. And so she has transitioned to be chaotic neutral. But that was something that she did on her own, sort of nudged by PCs over the course of a few adventures. Lysella had her entire faith sort of subsumed by this fringe rune lord group, and that nudged her to have all of her faithful decide that they were going to be lawful evil, nudged her in that direction.
And she just left.
She just sort of went into hiding. And then most of her worshippers died when Earthfall happened. So that was sort of convenient that now, well, she can just go into hiding and her cult is gone and whatever. She doesn't need to worry about it anymore.
Her herald is in bad shape. Her herald, Kershaw on the Undying, has no deity connection because Lysella went away and has to like eat outsiders to stay around. Although, to her credit, she pretty much only eats demons. She could eat any outsider, but she'll eat demons.
They're tasty.
My character always left demon corpses out for her.
I will answer your question with another question, and that is...
Said that there was Shattered Star 5, and what was the other thing?
The Year of the Risen Rune.
Yes, Year of the Risen Rune.
I would say that there's probably 7 or 8 scenarios deal with her.
Cultist Kiss... Also, the year before that, 3-, the final one, something of the Golden Portal, or it's the one after Storm in the Diamond Gate, Portal of the Sacred Rune, which is in season 3, is the first time her cultists show up, and then they show up in Cultist Kiss, Feast of Sigils, the third one, Words of the Ancients.
If you can name them all, Mark, you
are
the prize.
Words of the Ancients, and then Waking Rune. And that's the Lysella Quartet.
All right.
I was just also going to point out, it is official canon that Lysella and Rovagug have never been photographed together.
It's true.
And Aradin.
Then again, very few inhabitants of Galarian have been photographed. So.
All right, so a prize.
Yeah, he's already got a prize. Would you like to trade in your prize for what's in the bag, or do you want to keep the prize you've already got?
It's strapped.
Sure. I don't even have a bubble-blowy thing. So
you don't have a mouth?
I think the wand is inside.
Yeah, the wand's inside the bubble.
It's just under the foil.
I think that this might just be bubble fluid.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
That we call that dish soap.
Yeah.
All right. So you're gonna trade yours in.
Yeah, I'll try something from the mystery bag.
All right, you get a DVD widescreen edition copy of Matrix Reloaded.
Okay, well, I can always use that.
That's the worst prize yet.
That is why Lysella left. She's like, I'm not watching this. All right, up in the front.
On a recent episode of Arcane Mark, you were having a discussion about a piece of property that didn't apply to the licensing. I think it was a type of creature that got referred to as some type of like animal folk because
yes.
the license for maybe the card
Mokotha
game.
Mokotha are fish folk in the card game because the card game is not a role-playing game, and the SR that the OGL, mm-hmm. Open Game License, only applies to the creation of role-playing games.
So the question that I have that follows that is, what legally makes a role-playing game?
You win a prize! no, I deal a lot with licensing.
Yeah, Mark is the right mark for that.
I actually go through, like, our miniatures, for example, are not released under the OGL. Okay. So any of the term Lokotha is a completely made-up word that Wizards of the Coast owns. Mm-hmm. We are able to use that word in print as long as we are doing so under the terms of the OGL. The card game is not released under the OGL because it's not built on the mechanical chassis of 3.5,
gotcha.
Basically. And so it could be actionable if we were to publish something that used the word Lokotha and didn't show how we could legally use that word. So we generally err on the side of caution by renaming things if we're unsure whether they are a WotC-owned term. I think that it doesn't. It's possible to release things that aren't role-playing games under the OGL. But it gets weird because it's a attribution share alike license essentially. And even if you're providing attribution for where you got the names, like say we put the OGL in a novel, we're not releasing any rules. There's nothing that we're generating there that then becomes open content for other people to use. And I don't think it's necessarily forbidden by the license. I would have to ask our lawyer.
Man,
basically.
Could a comic be OGL if it had a tiny bit of rules at the back and have the whole comic be OGL?
That actually is a thing that yes, that's a good example. So the comics that Dynamite Comics publishes for us have a small appendix in the back that provides game stats and things like that because that publication is. Under the OGL, we're able to use WotC terms.
So magic missile instead of force missile.
Exactly. We can use the term magic missile within the narrative of the story, and Sione can say, I'm going to cast magic missile. And Ezra can be like, you always cast magic missile. And she can be like, but I'm a sorcerer. I always cast the same spells. and we can actually use those terms.
You just said that Ezra always prepares magic missiles, so... In the first question.
No, it's a bonded object.
Or not the first, the thesis question.
I don't know. Anyway, so that's the long and short of it. And a lot of what I do is going through our list of miniatures and saying, can we use the term Darrow with two R's? That's not the way it was originally spelled in the source material. It was with one R.
But with one R...
Spoiler... Man. We're changing how we spell Darrow in second edition just to be a little bit safer
right.
by going back to the... I don't even know who wrote the original.
Oh, yeah. It's
James
of,
would know. He's going to fire me for not knowing.
It's okay.
Clark
Ashton. That one goes way back.
It's a long time ago. I don't know.
It's one,
anyway,
of, the James, one of the James authors.
Yeah, one of those authors that James really likes. You should find him and ask him. Maybe he'll give you a prize.
Seems like you have a question. Maybe you get a prize.
No, you get a prize.
No, I already got the prize.
Wait,
that's why I'm
wait,
giving
you
him
can
away.
Let him choose the bubbles or see a mystery
yeah.
prize.
Do you want or the bubbles?
For what's in the bag? I promise it's of equal or lesser value.
Or greater. Greater value could be.
Or greater value.
Maybe.
I feel like some...
You got to see what's in the bag?
Oh, I do see the blower, though. It is in there.
you gave up the bubbles
too soon. Too soon.
Okay, because it was a question about licensing, here is a Samwell Tarly Game of Thrones action figure that has been opened and resealed with packing tape.
Yes.
Fantastic.
So it's no longer mint, but there you go.
When you think Samwell Tarly, you think
donated
action.
By the Paizo staff.
Hey, Hey, I don't want to give any spoilers away, but that's a good investment right there.
I see a question over here
from our No Direction team. Yes. Is this a question from you, Ryan, or from a fan?
That's from me.
Okay. He is a fan.
All right.
Can you impersonate the rest of the Iconics?
Who's to say I haven't been?
That's actually his Fumbus voice.
Let's see.
That is my Fumbus voice. No, my Fumbus voice is more like this.
Really? Fumbus is one of the Beatles?
Oh, yeah. He's very, very cultured. Yeah, actually, go talk to Wayne Reynolds. That's what Fumbus sounds like.
that's Scouse
accent there. Yeah. Which iconic do you want to hear?
Yeah.
Harsk. That was my Harsk impression. Yeah. All right, give one to Mark. Have Mark do one.
Celtiel.
I feel the pain and darkness of my father's abuse. Now I will pray to my lord Asmodeus.
You win a prize just for getting him to do that. All right, you also have to travel to another country, so you should get something.
No liquids, please.
No liquids. Okay. No liquids. Do you want... no liquids. All right, here you go. You get the February 1997 issue of Inquest, number 22, with... a preview of the Visions multiverse spoiler list.
Thank you.
97, that was a good year.
Yeah.
It's 22. It's one of the earliest ones.
One of the earliest issues.
One of the first 22, definitely.
All right, we've got about...
it's in the top 25 earliest.
15 more minutes. Yeah. So if you want time for everyone to win a prize.
If you want the grand prize, you better get in questions. Do we have any more that are from the room first? Okay, to you.
Sorry, I tried to look.
Yeah.
Thoughts on converting raised dead, reincarnate, resurrection to occult rituals?
Well, I mean, in the playtest, we converted resurrect to an occult ritual, or a ritual that is divine. I think it's maybe just divine, but it might be divine and occult. So, yeah, we did that. That was so good. It was a good idea for a second edition, but we still created a non-ritual version in case you needed to do it more quickly and more expensively. And less reliable. Well, it's more reliable, but it's really expensive. So, yeah, good idea.
I mean, you can really make any spell an occult ritual by just taking a long time to do it. My weekly load of laundry is an occult ritual around my house.
What happens on a critical failure?
Well, you're looking at it.
You'll see me wearing the same shirt all PaizoCon. There's a reason for that. It's not really the same shirt. They just look alike.
All right.
All right, No Direction already got a prize.
Yeah, so they can't get another one.
We've got...
how many more are in
there? We have four more non-grand prizes.
And the bubbles.
Who
hasn't asked a question yet?
Quite
That's
a
good
people,
question.
Actually, yeah.
In fact, yeah. If there aren't questions of Mark, there will be questions by Mark.
I already asked the question.
Did you?
Yeah, how many pages of the 1,296 did I have to do in Design Pass?
Did we answer that question?
Yeah, 1,200.
We answered...
when did we answer
that
Starfinder
question?
Q&A earlier on.
He answered it himself.
I answered it myself.
What if I keep asking questions?
Then I'll just keep answering them because it's question marks.
Alright, well, if there's literally nothing else, I'll ask the question you've already gotten 1,000 of, because there's literally nothing else to ask. What happened to Aridin?
Aridin died.
More specifically.
Wait, I thought it wasn't clear whether he for sure died or not.
He's dead.
Okay.
You heard it here first, folks.
The answer that I have always heard before I worked at Paizo, and that I still even more so believe now that I do work at Paizo, is that... it can't possibly be anything better than what you came up with in your head for what happened. So just use that.
It's definitely. There's a reason they haven't let me publish yet what I came up with.
I don't know.
It's pretty boring.
I don't know what you came up with, but I know the real answer.
Oh. What?
Okay, Aridin's fate is whatever makes a good story. Gotcha.
Basically, that's the reason we haven't answered it.
See also truthfully. The gap.
Or Old Navy if it's more your style.
Well, no, the Starfinder thing where everything disappeared for a while.
And yeah, there have to be underlying mysteries that we just don't explain because they are very, very fertile seeds for new adventure hooks, both for us and for GMs.
There always has to be at least some theory so that we cannot contradict it.
All right. One of you in GCP hats, ask us a question. I don't care which.
What's on the docket for remaining Pathfinder 1 in the material coming
out? Is Druma out yet?
Druma, I don't think, is out. We have we have a 64-page book about Druma, which is the very mercantile wealth.
Prophets of Calistrade.
Yeah, that comes out in June, I'm being told by Robot Chris. And then sitting in the back, and for that, Chris, you win a prize.
And also, hold on, Midwives to Death, which is volume 6 of the Tyrant's Grasp Adventure, that has not come out yet, and it has a special showcase at the end with a lot of stuff.
Right, and then there's a
Chronicle of Legends companion, but that's sort of already shipping, or at least some people.
I don't
have
a copy of it yet, so
I don't.
Chris wins a prize.
Some people have.
It is a purple and white plush clownfish.
Really?
Right. So what is the stain? What is the stain on it, Chris? I've been wondering.
I have it on the ground.
Like outside?
Yes.
Does anyone want Chris's old stained plush fish?
That was a flurry of questions right there.
I can't believe that Chris was actually the person who donated the fish. Leave it on the table.
And she donated it to all of you fine people, and no one wants it?
Oh, man.
That's fine. We'll put it over here and see who ends up with it at the end of the show.
Probably the garbage.
Yeah. All right, come on now. If you haven't asked a question yet, this is your chance.
I have a question, but I don't know if you'll be able to answer it.
We can always answer it.
Sounds like a challenge.
I don't promise the veracity of the answer.
So, with regards to Pathfinder 2nd edition, there was, at least last time I checked, there was debate about whether a subscription will give you the PDFs automatically. Has that been decided?
No. Yes. I don't know.
Now, my answer to that question is that actually subscriptions will give you a small skyscraper of your very... No. It hasn't been decided.
Okay.
Well, if it has, we're not included on that discussion, so... you win a prize!
Yay! Wait, no, we were in the discussion where they said that they hadn't decided.
Yeah, that's true.
Because someone literally asked on Monday, has it been decided yet? Because people might ask us this at a panel at the PaizoCon, and the answer was no. It has not been decided.
To be fair, if it had been decided, it would possibly change again later, so...
Yes.
It's true.
All right,
after you finish programming the website to run it.
What do you win?
Very likely.
You win a... DC's The Flash Hoodies Collectible Auto Ornament from Loot Crate.
Oh.
It's an exclusive.
That's where that thing is.
And it looks, is it unopened?
Yeah,
oh, Flash
I think so.
Opened and closed it so fast that you couldn't
He just
tell.
Phased through the...
Phased right through it. Right. I better see that on the hood of your car before you leave the con.
I need to first buy a car.
Okay, well, you're one step closer.
You win another prize!
It's my new car!
Oh, no, sorry. We don't have that.
No.
Just hold it out in front of you while you run.
Yeah, well, when you cross the street to go to Jack in the Box, just hold it out in front of you like this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Has this been?
You have to go against the light, too.
Has this been anything similar to what any of you thought this panel was going to be?
Good question!
This is my first panel. It's everything I
hope
for.
Okay.
I promised as little as possible in the description.
We've still got two prizes and
the
original
grand
piece of Wayne Reynolds art.
But you had to have won, and I would say another prize to ultimate
the
grand prize.
It is now.
It is now. Yeah, you can't win the prize if you don't ask a question. Everyone wants it. Yeah, there you go. What?
Who are you people?
Who are we?
We didn't.
We're Mark.
We didn't really
we are
fully
Legion.
Introduce ourselves. So I'm Mark Seifter, and I'm a designer at Paizo. Being on the design team means that we work on all the new games that come out from Paizo or that are sent to Paizo from other places that we have to look at. And we also do some of the crunchiest, heaviest rules lifting for any game. So when we made Starfinder, the design team came over to there, and now the Starfinder team does everything else on that other than the beginning.
Rules, bro.
Then that's what the designers do. That's who I am.
And I'm Mark Moreland, the original Mark. And I am the franchise manager at Paizo, so I work more on the brand side of things to ensure that there's
you know, brand strategy across all of our in-house products, our licensed products, and that, you know, we're developing the Pathfinder and Starfinder brands as a whole in the best possible way. So,
and I'm not Mark at all, and I don't do anything you care about.
Aww. That's not true. Do you use Paizo.com?
Has anyone played an interactive special for Pathfinder Society?
They have GCP hats. They are not here for us.
So, if anybody has ever played one and the tech side of it worked, you probably played in one of the ones that Andrew worked on, because he has had the least buggy, most effective tech side interactive special stuff for all of the interactive specials. So if you go to the one, 1098, Gallowspire, Siege of Gallowspire, and it works, then it was Andrew. Although if it doesn't work this time, it was also Andrew.
If it doesn't work, it's because you just brought it up.
If it doesn't work, it's because
you jinxed it.
You only got it the last second. So
that happened.
Who here is hungry? Is anyone here hungry?
Is that a question?
Ask me a question.
What's in the bag?
Your prize! A Bumblebee tuna snack on the run, tuna salad sandwich with crackers.
Wow. What's the expiration date on that, Mark?
No,
so these were
donated
by a Paizo staffer because they have a 5-year shelf life.
Oh.
And the Paizo staffer and their significant other thought they were buying 3 of these, when in fact they were buying 3 cases of these.
For a price that they would have been willing to pay for 3 of these.
I was at the office until very late last night when I did not sleep because I was preparing for my game that's in half an hour that I'm still not ready for. And
hooray!
I ate a bunch of those.
Yeah,
they sustained me.
All right, do we have one more and then the grand?
We have one more prize.
All right, someone who hasn't, okay.
All right,
you
or
guys
someone
are
who
two.
Has asked a question.
What?
It's
okay.
So one of our favorite things about the playtest was that spells are relevant from kind of first level. So obviously now that cantrips are more powerful, a wizard doesn't have to use a crossbow for the first 3 levels.
Right.
But why would he not want to?
One of the things that we personally found when we were doing the playtest was that the cantrips that you choose in early levels and even the first level spells, it's quite obvious which ones the most powerful ones are. So a wizard, as you mentioned before, will generally go for magic missile, mage armor, as they kind of traditionally had in the past, to an element. Have you done anything to mitigate spellcasters always choosing the same spells from a kind of someone who's good at, you know, from a sorcerer?
Yeah, we made the good spells terrible.
Nope.
It's all floating disc all the way from here on out.
Are you doing anything like considering buffing the weaker spells?
So, we have done some phase shifting on the spells to the point that there are certain spells that you will cast at different levels in those first level slots. Like, Magic Missile, real great when you are first level and you're casting it in your first level slot, but I'd rather have Fleet Step or Long Strider in there when I'm 10th level with my first level slot any day of the week. And also, Magic Weapon. Mark gave a few examples, but there's actually Magic Weapon is way better than almost anything else.
I have never seen anyone cast Magic Weapon. They just go buy a Magic Weapon.
Yeah, if you're first level, though.
Go steal one off a guy.
You can't get a Magic Weapon at first level. And in first... Wait, have you played 2nd edition and had a Magic Weapon
spell?
No! Okay, so you think it gives a +1 to hit and does not give an extra damage die, right? It gives an extra damage die, so it's an enormous buff at first level. Now, to be fair, once you get a magic weapon, he's right, you don't cast it anymore. So we want those slots to be different, interesting, and different choices when you're at different levels than you were to start out. And you're not always, it was magic missile, it's always going to be magic missile, and I never have to change it at all. You have to think, what do I want now?
Yeah, I mean, and even the old standards like mage armor, once you're of a level where you can afford a +5, you know, bracers of armor, you're not going to use that anymore because you can do better, you know, and so...
We don't have +5 bracers of armor, but...
But if we did,
you would definitely use that instead of anything, including full plate.
Yeah, +5 bonus to AC is pretty good. And
if +5 with the max dex on bracers of armor would give you more AC than anything else that you could possibly wear. If you had enough dex.
Tips on how to break your game with Mark and Andrew.
I think it's only slightly better than, like, the maxed out full plate. All right, so there, you can get a prize. It's for her.
I don't know if... I
You guys keep getting the prizes that you can't take on the plane.
Yeah.
Okay. It is a...
It's a gun!
Welcome to America!
Welcome to America, yeah!
Home of the free and the... Shut up.
Don't worry, this counts as a gun show.
Yeah, no, it's a six-piece office gift set with a calculator, two pens.
Wow.
That's just handy.
Two rolls of tape, scissors.
Okay,
TSA's going to love these. Yeah. Stapler.
All right, get that back to them, and you can try to trade
it. Maybe you can trade it. All right.
Pass that back to
them.
You
can trade it piecemeal, too. Like the...
All right, so Andrew. Andrew, this is why you're
those
here.
Those scissors are specifically designed to run with, by the way.
Which of these people won the grand prize? This is your whole raison d'etre for...
This is my question?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've
you
been,
have to answer.
You've been here silently judging them the whole time.
You told
time.
Them that your whole reason for being here was to decide which one won the grand prize, so... Yeah,
that's a good point.
Traditionally, this would be a roll-off, wouldn't it?
It would be. Or but a fight
does
to
anyone
death.
Have a die? One, two...
Yes.
We'll go with just fans now. Not sorry, Chris. Two, three, four...
You don't get to roll off for the...
Nine, ten... There are 10 of you who don't work at Paizo in the room.
Yeah, I'm going to arbitrarily say everybody here rolls a die 20. And
Whoa. We've only got a few minutes. We've only got a minute and a half here.
Let's roll a D10.
Why don't we roll a D10?
One D10,
and
then
we'll go,
count off.
We'll go in the order that I counted before, where Ryan was number one.
Yeah.
Two, three, four, five, six,
seven, eight, nine, ten. Ready? Okay,
right.
Here it goes.
Yes, it went on the floor.
Does it count?
It counts.
What is it?
Seven.
That's you.
That's you.
Woo!
Oh, man.
You win an original piece of Wayne Reynolds' art.
It's a portrait.
Done today when I asked him to do an original piece of art.
For free.
It is a goblin saying, butter.
From the creator of that style of goblin, Wayne Reynolds.
Yes.
He's the one who just made that goblin head popular, so.
Thank you all for coming to the inaugural question marks.
I'm
glad there were more than two of you.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the No Direction PaizoCon 2019 seminar coverage. We'd like to thank Ryan Hiller of Geek Dad and Justin Sluder of Justin Sluder for the recorders they provided, as well as the KD Con team for their diligent work. To find this and other great convention coverage, visit NoDirectionPodcast.com.